unsettled souls, and welcome back to The Correct Views.
We'll be posted on The Correct Views in probably by tonight. Jim Gray, right off the bat, the topic of most people, the topic of people who were, and in cases like mine, are supporters of Ron Paul. I am usually a libertarian who is voting Republican, but I'm only doing it if Paul is on the ticket. But a lot of people listening to this are not like this. Many are independents or Democrats who followed Paul or perhaps are new to the whole idea of a third party. What would you say to Paul supporters who are now starting to see that, like I am, Paul just might not be an option?
You know, I think Ron Paul is a hero. He is going to go down in history as having won this election in so many ways because he has mainstreamed this whole approach of liberty, of responsibility, and actually what works. I do not think that he is going to get the Republican nomination at the convention. Actually, though, Governor Gary Johnson and I will both be rooting for him. We're going to be at Paul Fest in Tampa right before the convention. But I think when the dust settles that there will only be three people on the ballot in all 50 states, and that is Mr. Obama, Mr. Romney, and Governor Gary Johnson. We are in the same family. We carry the same banner of freedom, of reducing our involvement around the world with our military, with the healthcare system to get government out of it and get competition back, certainly with education to get the government out of it, for heaven's sake, and get the competition back and allow the parents to choose where their children and how their children should be educated. We are of one mind. And so I'm proud of what Dr. Paul has been doing, and I am anxious to keep continuing to carry this banner forward. The more people see what Governor Gary Johnson not only says, but what he has actually done, they will barely break stride in supporting Governor Gary Johnson in this coming election on November 6th.
I agree very much. I think Paul has done, I was saying this about someone else earlier, but Paul, too, has been really able to awaken, quote-unquote, brain-dead America. And as you put, it's real close to the Johnson-Gray ticket. One of the most frustrating... go ahead, sir.
Well, what he's done is sensational. He's just simply a hero. And he stands for what he stands for, and he's open about it. Unlike the people that are playing politics who are opponents in this election, I know where Dr. Paul stands, and I know where Gary Johnson stands. I couldn't tell you what Mr. Romney feels about almost anything, and Mr. Obama is just leading us in a direction that I don't think the American people want to go, and I think that they will recognize that completely.
One of the most frustrating things that people are prone to saying is that a vote for the third party, even a vote for ideals, is somehow a wasted vote. I've argued since 08, now with the rise of both Pauls, that the popularity of Alex Jones or Judge Napolitano, and even Gary Johnson, who was governor, would have been absolutely impossible if people have not, quote-unquote, wasted their vote on Harry Brown or Bob Barr. What would you say to people who are in this line of thinking?
You know, it is amazing, and it is something that is prevalent in our world. I think I probably have four responses for that. The first is, look, if you vote for the lesser of two evils, you still end up with evil. Isn't it better to vote in favor of someone that you can be proud to be associated with? And that's Governor Gary Johnson and Dr. Paul. So these people are bringing forth things that will actually work. We're all allies. We're all on the same side. We're not opponents. We all want to have freedom and prosperity and equal opportunity and justice. So that's number one. Number two is that actually Mr. Obama and Mr. Romney are the same. They are not going to further our country to that prosperity, equal opportunity, and freedom. And they're pretty much the same way. So it doesn't matter whether one or the other would be elected. They're both equally awful, and so why waste your vote on somebody that will take our country in the wrong direction? Number three, you know, this is serious stuff, and that we simply cannot, for the sake of our children, for the sake of our grandchildren, for the sake sake of our country, for our own sake. We cannot continue to go in the same direction in the next 4 years that we've gone the last 4 years, or even 12 years. I ask people all the time, you know, if you are you content with the way our country has been, quote, unquote, led in the last 12 years? If you are, feel free to vote to the Republican or the Democrat. But if you're not, the answer is to vote for liberty, to vote for something that will actually work, such as Governor Gary Johnson and Dr. Paul. So those are the things that we just need to focus on. And finally, and then it depends which state you're in. My home state is California. I look at people and say, you know something? Mr. Romney will never, as a practical matter, beat Mr. Obama in California. A vote for Romney is a wasted vote. But a vote for Governor Gary Johnson, who could beat Obama in California, is a vote for that will really count. And that is true in Colorado. You can say the same thing, but in reverse. These are things that people need to look at. So if you're going to just get crass, vote for Romney in many states and a vote for Obama in many states is a wasted vote. A vote for Johnson, a vote for Dr. Paul is never a wasted vote. It counts.
Very well put. I've said for a long time that Johnson and Paul and the Liberty Movement as a whole cannot end up being the next Barry Goldwater, because we don't have enough years to wait for the quote-unquote next revolution to happen. It has to happen now. It's been too bad for way too long.
Well, that's what I say also. We can go back to my hero, which is Thomas Jefferson. And Jefferson, as you know, was quoted as saying that in our fragile democracy, we're going to need a revolution every generation. Why? To protect us from those special interests, those private interests that will inveigle their way into power and sap our vitality and sap our strength. I am here to say that Governor Gary Johnson and Judge Jim Gray are that revolution, and we must get behind it now, and we will accomplish that.
Absolutely agree in every way. As a judge yourself, do you get a lot of backlash for the fact that you are for legalizing marijuana?
No, it's surprising. I did something very unusual for a trial court judge back in April of 1992 and held a press conference as a sitting trial court judge in Orange County, California, saying our nation's drug policy is not working and we simply must change it. By the way, that's exactly what Governor Johnson did in 1999 when he was the sitting governor of New Mexico. He didn't have any constituency for that, no political advantage, but he conducted his own audit, took one look at it, took a long look at it, came to the same conclusion. It's a man of courage. And since that time, it's been gratifying. We have seen more and more people begin to understand. We have now in 1996 in California passed the Medical Marijuana Law, Initiative, Prop 215. It's gone to another 13 other states and District of Columbia as well. People are beginning to understand, but they also should see that if you want to have medical marijuana dispensaries survive in the next 3 or 4 years, if either Obama or Romney are elected, they will be gone. The only way they will survive is to vote for Governor Gary Johnson. But it just continues, because then it just depends what you want to talk about. The biggest oxymoron in our lives today is the term controlled substances. Mm-hmm. Well, wait a minute. As soon as you prohibit something, give up all of your ability to have anything whatsoever to say about its control. You know, its place of sale, its quality, its quantity, its strength, the amount, age restrictions. You're giving up all of those things to the bad guys. You know, to the Mexican drug cartels, juvenile gangs all around the country, a bunch of other thugs. The better way, the best way, is to regulate and control it. And that's what we are doing with medical marijuana. That's what we are doing in Colorado and in Washington with their initiatives that we've strongly support and endorse to regulate marijuana like alcohol, and that way you bring control back. You know, people don't recognize this, but they do as soon as you talk to them about it. We are maintaining this failed war on drugs, quote, for all of its defects, unquote, for really one reason, and that is children. We want to protect our children from a lifestyle of drug usage and drug selling, but we are putting our children in harm's way for two extremely important reasons, both caused by drug prohibition. First is, ask the next 10 teenagers you're buying. Don't listen to me. Ask them, which is easier for you to get if you want to today, alcohol or marijuana? and they'll all tell you, oh, it's easier to get marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because the illegal dealers don't ask for ID. So that's a harm. Number two, I'm now a drug dealer. I'm an adult, and I can recruit all the children I want for my lifestyle of drug usage and drug selling. How? You know, $50 in cash is nothing to an adult drug dealer, but to a kid, it's a lot of money. So I use them as gophers, lookouts, couriers, whatever. And then as soon as their reliability is established, and I've seen this day in and day out on juvenile court when I was sitting there, they will trust the young people to go out and sell small amounts of drugs in their communities. Well, ask yourself, if you have a young boy or young girl selling marijuana or other drugs, who are they going to be selling to? People like me? No, they're going to be selling to their 14, 15, 16-year-old peers, thus recruiting more children to this very lifestyle of drug usage and drug selling that we say we're trying to keep away from them, and it is caused, once again, by drug prohibition. You do not see today juveniles selling Jim Beam bourbon on their high school campuses to each other, but they're selling marijuana or ecstasy or whatever else all the time. We couldn't do it worse if we tried. So we've made a lot of progress with people beginning to understand those things now, and it's just a question of time. I think the tipping point will be in Colorado and their initiative in November, and in Washington, and maybe Oregon if they get it on the ballot.
Excellently put. I have questions on the debate later, and if you get a chance to speak at the debates, they are in deep trouble. Would you say that more people in the system, like judges and even police officers, are becoming more open to the more libertarian mindsets?
Yes. Yes. I belong to a speakers group called LEAP, which is Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, and these are all former or some are present law enforcement officers. We have people like, for example, Steve Downing, who's the former chief deputy of the Los Angeles Police Department, and people all very good, the Norm Stamper, who is the chief of police in Seattle. Just the list goes on and on. So law enforcement is beginning to understand this and speak out. And you know something? The biggest safety measure that we could put into effect for law enforcement would be to repeal drug prohibition and make their jobs much, much less violent, along the way of also reducing the harms caused by the drugs themselves, as well as, of course, the harms caused by drug money. So, yes, the answer is people are beginning to understand. But we still have a problem, and that is that when I was on the bench, people would say, well, Judge Gray, what do your colleagues think about this? What do your fellow judges think? And I would say to them, well, that's two questions. What do they think publicly, or what do they think privately? Privately, they all know that about 80% of the felony crime in Orange County and Los Angeles County is drug-related crime, and what we're doing simply is making it worse. Publicly, they don't want to bring attention to themselves. They're still afraid that if they do that, they might lose their jobs, that sort of thing. So they're quiet about it. But that is also changing as well. It must.
Good. Very good to hear. Judge, one of the most common concerns found by the average person is that if a libertarian ever got into office, the poor and safety net apparatuses would be dismantled. Most libertarian-minded politicians that I have seen written about seem to point out that states are more than welcome to vote any system that they wish to have in place, and that getting the feds out of that would bring prices down. However, churches and charities now have less money than ever, so how would a Johnson-Gray ticket address these concerns?
No, and that's a valid question. First of all, by the way, I care about people. I was in the Peace Corps. I will be the first Peace Corps volunteer to be elected to national office. And I think that says a lot about Governor Johnson, because he cares about people as well. But the approach by libertarians, and I think you would agree, is instead of making government the first resort, which the other parties do, no, what's the first resort? Well, it's individual responsibility. The second resort is your family. The third resort are the charitable institutions. The fourth resorts are really, you know, the religious organizations, etc. And then the fifth resort is the government, but the more local government first, and then the state government. And at the end of all of that, if we need a safety net, which we do. And there are people in our society that cannot take care of themselves, the mentally ill. A lot of deaths, you know, veterans that at PTSD or whatever else, or stepped on a landmine and they have brain injuries. I mean, we owe them, as far as I'm concerned, and I think legally as well as morally. But the last resort is the government, and there will be a safety net for people administration. You can count on that. But, again, it will be at the end, at the last resort instead of the first resort. But I assure you, it will be there.
Wonderful. That I'm sure will ease many minds. That's one of the questions I got on the show when I mentioned I was going to interview you. What has been your biggest surprise regarding your endeavor to become the next VP?
You know, all right, I will answer that directly. When Governor Johnson asked me to be his running mate, first of all, I told him that I was flattered and certainly excited. It's the most exciting thing that's happened to me since the birth of my children, because Governor Johnson is the most qualified person to be president of the United States that I know of. And honestly, and I hate to say this too loudly, but my defect in being a candidate is I tell the truth. Governor Johnson is more qualified than Dr. Paul, because Governor Johnson has 8 years of administrative experience, and I think that really is important. Having said all of that, after I made that comment, I said, Governor, I will do this on one condition, and that is that we run to win. None of this moral victory stuff, none of this making a good showing or planning for the future.
Nice.
I'm not naive. I understand the odds are against us, but we're going to run to win. And he completely agreed. Now the answer to your question, because the thing that has surprised me the most, after we said all of this, the governor said, Jim, during the election, if you disagree with me, feel free to discuss your disagreements in public. And I tell you, my jaw dropped so strong. I've never heard of anybody saying that before. This man is self-confident. He is devoted to finding the right way. And if his ideas aren't quite the best, then he'll listen to mine or anyone else's. He is open to that because he is so fundamentally strong and self-assured. That really did surprise me, and what a wonderful message.
That's unheard of in politics, very much.
It's unheard of.
If you and Gary Johnson are... go ahead.
No, it is unheard of. I was just agreeing with you. I've never heard of that ever happening before. It just is quite a comment about this man. He has no ego. He has every desire to do the right thing for the right reason. And, of course, we all know that freedom is the answer. But there are various gradations in this, and he's willing to listen and adjust accordingly. It's wonderful.
That would make for a very interesting cabinet selection. If you and Gary Johnson are elected, what would you do about a Congress that would not be libertarian? Because Democrats and Republicans often face a problem when they are up against a Congress that differs from the president. Even Clinton, with all of his popularity numbers for whatever reason at the time, faced that.
That is a critical issue. And I tell people very openly that one of our truly strongest features is we're not Republicans and we're not Democrats. We will be able to give credit for people for if they have a good idea, if they embrace a good idea, regardless of the politics. And literally, we will become a coalition government. There will be people from all political parties and various beliefs highly placed in our administration. We will work together as a coalition, which is exactly what the people of the United States of America crave. The Republicans cannot do that. Democrats cannot do that. They've shown that they're bipolar in their relationships with each other. And if a Democrat today or a Republican comes up with a good idea, people on the other side and the other parties actually try to squelch it so that one party doesn't get credit. That is not going to be true in the Johnson Gray administration. And in fact, to the degree that if one of the parties politically is giving us some trouble just for political reasons, we'll have people highly placed in our administration who can go and talk to them as colleagues and say, come on, guys, this is a good idea. Get behind it. We'll hone these things together. It is our strongest feature, and it is exactly what the people of the United States of America crave. So once we get in the debates, we will show that we're viable, and I think we have a better chance of winning than either the Republicans or the Democrats. How do we get in the debates? Very straightforwardly. We will need to be polling at 15% by the end of September. And if we do that, then we will be a part of the debates. Honestly, if we don't, we're dead. But we have every way of being able to get into those debates. And at the moment, you know, I tell people, your vote is your own. You can decide how you wish to vote. But when a pollster calls you on the phone, first of all, do not hang up. And secondly, say, I support Governor Gary Johnson for president. Get us in the debates. It will force Mr. Obama and Mr. Romney to discuss issues they really do not want to discuss. You know, the war on drugs, our interventionist policies around the world, the health care. I mean, it goes on in education. It goes on and on. Have us a part of the debates. It will make the debates more interesting, more substantive. And then I promise you that we will merit your vote come November the 6th. To the degree that I say everybody that votes for Governor Johnson and Judge Gray in November will be proud that they did within 2 years. And or at least 60% of the people that do not will devoutly wish that they had.
Yes, I've been telling everyone I know that, remember when you voted for Obama? Somebody very close to me voted for Obama, and I can't say her name because if I put on air that she actually did it, she'll hit me. You don't want to be in that position again.
It's so critical. I truly fear that if either Mr. Romney or Mr. Obama is elected for all of these various reasons, 4 years from now, I'm not sure it's going to be salvageable. Our economy is in such trouble. We must have a balanced budget. We must reduce that government spending. As Governor Johnson says, and he's right, for every dollar the federal government spends today, 43 cents is borrowed, for heaven's sake. How could any company possibly carry that out? How could any household possibly? How can any country possibly carry that out and remain solvent? So this is a really, really important election. And Governor Gary Johnson is the only one, he's the right one, to carry us forward back to, as we say, this is a one-issue candidacy. We stand for prosperity, equal opportunity, and freedom.
I've, well put, sir. I've been telling everybody, regardless of who you're voting for, when they do call you, even if you know for sure that you're going to vote for Romney or Obama, say that you're voting for Johnson if you're in favor of somebody getting a chance to speak, if you're in favor of the First Amendment. And then you can go and vote for Obama. You know, just say that you're voting for Johnson.
It will make the debates much more interesting, like I say. We are now carried in the Gallup poll. It's about 3 or 4 days ago. They carried Governor Johnson there. He polled at 3%, which is going to only get increased as we go forward. You know, not only the Ron Paul supporters, who I really believe will see that we are a family, and without any hesitation, when they think about it, they will join us. Mm-hmm. So that'll increase our numbers, certainly. It's wonderful. If you talk, in fact, I was in Pahrump, Nevada, the night before last, speaking with Ron Paul supporters there. It was, what a delightful experience. But if you talk to one Ron Paul supporter in the flesh, you're basically talking to 50 more. They're so active, and it's just wonderful. But other people, you know, the medical marijuana folks or the people that despise the war on drugs for what it is, which is a disaster, only we will stand for them. That will increase our numbers. Now, the people that are concerned about Mr. Romney and Mr. Obama talking about literally and seriously bombing Iran, going to war with Iran, you know, they have nowhere to go other than Governor Gary Johnson, who has said very directly, you know, we don't go to war with anybody unless they attack us first or our allies. That sort of thing. So we're not going to go to war with Iran. Those people will support us. It can take beyond that. The Native Americans, for heaven's sake. You know, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, whether it should have ever gone into effect in the early 1800s or not is debatable, but it certainly should not be in effect today. You know, oh, poor baby, you can't educate your children. We'll do it for you. We're the government. We'll protect you. You can't manage your lands. We'll do it. Of course, we've lost billions of your dollars, but that's government in action for you. We are talking with the Native Americans. They will support us. That will help us. We're going to be well above 15% by the end of September, and it will just go forward from there.
Two more questions for you, sir. Would you be in favor of allowing the Ten Commandments in federal buildings?
Yes. They are not religious as such. I believe in God we trust is appropriate on our coins. If it were in Jesus I trust, I think that would be inappropriate. But you know, the guidelines, the moral fiber of our country, I think, is expressed by those things.
Excellent. My usual last question, if you could address any topic in any way that you wish, what would it be? And it's all yours. Anything that you wish that somebody would ask you or something that you feel is very important to get out. Anything you'd like to say, sir.
I am as excited about Governor Gary Johnson for president and being a part of that as anything in my lifetime. second only to the birth of my children. The time is so important. We need to show people that we are their allies, not their opponents. We will bring them what they really desire as well. But it can't be. You know, the people that say, oh, we will give you this for free. We will, you know, your health care for free, your education for free, your house for free. You know, that sounds really good. They are not telling you the truth. I mean, how many generations has it been that African Americans have been helped supposedly by the government? Has it really helped them? No, they're not telling the truth. It doesn't. What we do isn't warm and fuzzy necessarily. We do talk about individual responsibility, but we're also caring. We're going to bring back to our country greatness that is in our bones, is in our institutions, is in our Constitution. And working together, we will do that. So again, it's just an exciting time, and this election really, really matters. And we welcome people to not only be in our family, because they already are, but to recognize it and share that embrace.
Thank you very much. Friends and listeners, you are listening to The Correct Views, streamed on RadioFreeCanton.net. Judge Jim Gray, vice presidential candidate running with Gary Johnson. Judge Gray, thank you so much for being on the show. If you could hang on for 1 second, I'll talk to you off air. And to everyone
Absolutely.
Listening, Johnson Gray, Libertarian Party, 2012. Hello? Now, thank you so
yes.
much for coming on. I had to go straight into, like, question mode because of the way we have our studio set up. You can either do one or the other, and I didn't want to leave it dead. Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Any time, and good luck to us all.